It's a challenge for each one of us, isn't it, to be following in the footsteps of Jesus, to keep our minds focused in such a way that we're following our Lord and Saviour, no matter what's going on. And the journey of life and the struggles that we have, the moments where we might feel a bit lonely, or we might feel that we might not be walking as well as we should be walking with our Lord. So today we want to look still at this topic of in His footsteps. We're looking in this month the topic of His great love. His great love this month. And the subtopic in His great love is a lot of what Helen was choosing the songs about this morning, was that place of eternal life. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for each one of us? How do we consider what God has given to us as a most incredible, most amazing gift? How do we see it? How do we understand it? Today I want to take us on that journey where we're still walking in Jesus' footsteps. As He sits in John chapter 17, that conversation, that personal conversation He has between His Father, Lord God, and through His disciples being there. The intimacy of the conversation and what Jesus is giving and portraying. So let's come in a time of prayer, just to bring our hearts to a point where we're ready to receive what God has for us in this message. So, Lord, incredible gift that You give to each one of us is this promise of eternal life. We don't understand it. We can't grasp it. Our minds are too small to really understand it. And yet it's a theme that we read in the scriptures. It's a joy that we have, and it's something that You've put on our hearts. So quickly we understand life is short. The older we get, the quicker we realize life has gone fast, and it's going way too fast. So, Lord, help us to understand what You want us to see today, how You see it playing out in our own journey, and how we are to see it from Your eyes to Your disciples. So let our hearts be ready. Let us understand what You want to show us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, we read these words: He has made everything beautiful in its time. That's He being God. Has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in our hearts, in the human heart. God has already set in your heart something so amazing that you know life just isn't what we have now. God has already put it in your heart that there is something after this life. Otherwise, we'd have a feeling of hopelessness and emptiness. But God has already set this in our heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Can anybody fathom what God's done from beginning to end? It's too deep. It's too huge. It's too big. I guess the question is, when you think of eternal perspective, I've chosen this picture deliberately because this thought of eternity, this thought of the cosmos, this thought of foreverness can also be very lonely. I don't know how you sit in your own mind, in your own thinking. It's one thing to be in a room of people. It's one thing to have family around. But it's a bit of a spoiler alert, believe it or not, each one of you are going to die. What do they say? Two things, death and taxes, you know, and taxes we try to avoid. I think we try to avoid death as much as we can as well too. Reality is we are going to die. And in that place, how do you see that? It's this unknown. Does it seem like, or does it feel like a lonely place? Sometimes we can feel very lonely in our own journey, in our own selves. We can feel so lonely. Sometimes we can be lonely in a big crowd of people. But that lonely place can leave us this vast cosmos, and Jesus is offering us an eternal life with him, or eternality. And I think when we look at the big picture, it can actually be a bit scary, because we don't know what it is. We don't know what it means. How do we fathom the depth of it? And yet what I want to bring to you is this intimacy. I talked about this last time I spoke, but I want to talk about it again. Because I think Jesus knows so quickly and so well that there is a loneliness in our journey and in understanding of this faith journey. And Jesus, in the beauty of his conversation with his disciples, brings a richness into it, saying, hey, look, you're not alone. This is organized. This is ordained. This is put in place from the beginning of time. So I'm going to read just a portion of John 16, moving into John 17, and then I want to look at the bigger picture in the story. So here we have Jesus talking to his disciples in this intimate conversation, and not only with his disciples, but he's talking to his disciples and talking to his Father at the same time. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. I'm talking to you about this big picture, this story, because in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Thank you, Andrew. I've missed your amens. Yeah, you're all welcome to say amen if there's something good that comes up, all right? But take heart, I have overcome the world. And then after he says this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. So he's overcome the world. He looks towards heaven and he prayed. What does he pray? He prays, Father, the hour has come. We know this is leading to his death on the cross. He says, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I'm going to pull that apart in a little while. But before I pull that apart, I just want to create a picture, an understanding. It's a beautiful, big story. It's a beautiful, big love story. Now, I'd like to say a moment in time, but I'm now minimalizing it. I'm just going to say a moment. There was a moment that God the Father and his Son and Holy Spirit, the three, we know that from Genesis, looked upon the cosmos, spoke it into being, and made a decision. We're going to choose something special. We're going to look across this cosmos. I'm going to find a place. We're going to find a planet. And what we understand is this planet was formless and void. And there was darkness around it. And we understand that God spoke. And when he spoke, he said, let there be light. And in that light, there was something happening and taking place. And not only did he bring light, but he looked at this planet. And in his creativity and his imagination, he separates the land and the sea. He brings this perfect understanding of how clouds and water and this place where the land had to separate from the sea, and then it was time to form some trees and some plants. And then his imagination brought in animals. And if you look at everything that God created on this planet and the perfect harmony between the sun, the moon, the stars, the way gravity and the fragility of the world, and yet in beautiful harmony, he brought it all together. And in his imagination, he set it up in such a way that it is so clever. The world is so cleverly created that it regenerates itself. When water becomes dirty, it regenerates through cloud and fresh water again. Plants die and come back through seed. There's this incredible way that God cleanses and regenerates. And he created it all by speaking. But what did he do? The only thing that he did that he didn't speak into being, what was that? Sorry? Man, each one of us. God in his creativity reached down and by his hand formed man and breathed life into man. Something so I'm talking big, beautiful picture. God in his imagination, creativity, creating you and I, thinking about us as something so special, so beautiful, that he wanted to create us by hand and say, I'm setting man, woman, you guys apart. You, he's thought of you and said, oh, this is going to be wonderful. I've created this incredible playground, this world that's so perfect for you to live in. And he created us in his image and gave us the ability to think and decide and put things in place. But there's also the potential for trouble. And we know that through the next part, we see this place of fall taking place. And this world, this creation, his people, sin had come in, destruction had come in, pain had come in, a place where death had come in. But God said, I don't want it to stop. So there's a place called sent. Jesus was sent through the cross, through this understanding that he was this place to bring restoration. I love this picture when I saw it. I love the cross is almost this place where we know the cross is painful death, but there's restoration and life coming through it. I want to bring this big picture understanding into this. Because we understand through John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, it says both times in those scriptures, it says all things were created by him, for him, and through him. All things created by Jesus, through Jesus, and for him. If he's created all that understanding, that big picture, And then he sits there and he talks to his disciples. Can we bring this whole big picture into this now conversation where Jesus is saying, I'm gonna bring restoration to all of this. Reconciliation. To reconcile. Do you know what reconcile when the balance is out? To bring it back in place. I told you these things so that you'll have peace. The world might be in turmoil, but there's peace in your own heart through Jesus. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Yeah, we know that, don't we? Just look at the news. Just look at the things that are happening in our own journeys. There's going to be trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. I understand it. I put it all together. And after he said this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed. What does he pray? Father, the hour has come. The hour has come for this reconciliation finally to take place, this restoration. Restoration for you and for me, this creation. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Look at that. Jesus has been given all authority and he's granted him, God the Father's granted Jesus that place where he's given this place of eternal life. That's a gift. Beautiful. Think of Jesus created all things, the heavens and the earth, the cosmos, everything. And he's turned around and he goes, now this authority is given to me to share now eternal life with you all, those who have chosen him. And now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. This is our understanding of heaven. Sit in that just for a moment. How many times have you heard heaven is this place where it's got, you know, swimming pools and these big, I don't know what you call it, mansions, and heaven is where this place where you can eat as much food as you want to eat and you know, everybody deserves heaven and all this understanding. And yet what we're seeing here, eternal life is actually this personal, deep, powerful relationship with your Creator. This is the intimacy that Jesus is trying to talk to his disciples about, saying, I've got it all, I've put it all together, and now I'm going to reconcile it. And in my reconciliation, I'm going to show you eternal life is all this relationship between me, the Father, Spirit, you, together. I've brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Jesus was sent by the Father. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the what? The world began. Jesus left that glorious place of heaven and came down like one of us, to be one of us, to go through the struggles of one of us and to show that he had conquered it. Jesus had left that place and came to his creativity and his imagination and said, I want this. I want to bring reconciliation. If that's not an act of love, I don't know what is. You and I probably would have said, that world and those people, they're a mess. I think I'm going to start all over again. But he doesn't, because he knows our hearts and the struggles that we carry. And he says, I want that intimacy between you and me. Have that place. And then he goes further in this conversation. He says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. See this father-son combination. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one. As we are one. Again, that intimacy between God the Father and Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit speaking. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. That's Judas. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. That joy that's in there. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they're not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Now, what does that word sanctify mean? The definition from Webster's is to set apart, sanctify, to set apart to a sacred purpose or to religious use, to consecrate, to free from sin, to purify, to impart or impute sacredness. What does that mean? It means when Jesus went to the cross, he was purifying us. It says here, I have sent them into the world. 19, for them I sanctify myself, set apart, purified, and they too may be truly sanctified. We are set apart and sanctified, cleansed through Jesus, his death on the cross, his blood poured out, the final sacrifice. It's a love story. It's a sacrificial love story. God in his creativity, God in his restoration, God in his reconciliation, and God in his sanctification, bringing us together, cleansed and set apart. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. Do you know God? Do you know Jesus, his Son? Do you know them? Do you know how he set things all in place? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that he's given all for you? Do you know that there's a place that he's made just for you and for I? This place of eternal life. Do you also know that there's a hell? Do you know that there's a place? There's a place where Jesus talks about, and it's difficult. We don't talk much about it today. We don't like to talk about hell. We don't like to talk about place of judgment or retribution. We don't like to talk about it. But the Bible makes it very clear that there is a place of judgment. Jesus talks about it and he makes it very clear. The struggle that we have is often we are so individual in our journey that we may say to ourselves, it's okay, I know Jesus, he's my Lord and he's my Savior. But we're not very concerned about those who don't know him. We're not very concerned about those who don't know him because we often don't see that picture and understanding of a place of hell and a place of retribution. We like to keep things simple. We like to think, oh, well, that's somebody else's problem or someone else's struggle. But we need to understand that Jesus went through what he went through for each one of us. Heaven is a place that's a personal relationship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We all know we struggle with sin. We all know we struggle with things that are bashing us in all different ways. We all know we have some sort of a loneliness or struggle within us. Yet Jesus offers us a personal, intimate relationship with him. Jesus offers us a place of reconciliation, what he has done for us. Do you and are you willing to share that with others? Do you and are you fearful of those who don't know him as their Lord and Savior? Do you and are you fearful of even those within your family, those who know you know well, those you work with, those around you? Are you willing to step out and share Jesus as Lord and Savior? Jesus says, come, follow me. Walk in my footsteps. Share the good news. Share life. Let's pray. Lord, we have just read how Jesus, knowing full well you were going to the cross and you were going to be in a place of such incredible pain and suffering and taking the weight of sin of the world on your shoulders, this place of reconciliation, to reconcile that which was wrong, you set it back in place. In your imagination, you love us and you care for us. In your imagination, you created us and set a place for us to have an eternal life with you. We really can't fathom the depths of it, nor do we want to miss out on it. In our loneliness and moments where we're not sure what it means to be in that place where you've given us eternal life and eternal hope, bring it to our hearts as a joy within us. Let us see it as a free and wonderful gift. Let us understand it as good news, great news, and wanting to share it with others. Lord, help us to see that your wonderful, beautiful love for each one of us is you want to spend eternity with us. The trouble is, Lord, when we look in our own hearts, when we look inside our own selves, we realize there's a darkness, or there's a part of us that we feel like we don't deserve what you've given to us. And so, Lord, help us to understand that in your intimacy, you really long for us to be with you. Help us in our own hearts then to be able to want to share that with others around us. A fear of hell, a fear of of others not being in eternity with us should fire our hearts, should fire our souls, should fire us up to want to share with others. Lord Jesus, give us new courage. Allow your presence to be with us. Allow us to have moments that we are such a light and our life is different that others will want to know what we have because you bring hope to us. When it all seems hopeless, Lord, show us the hope in the midst of it. Help us to see how in the big, beautiful picture, it's a beautiful picture of your love for each one of us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.